The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Proverbs 20, verse 5. I am Rob West. Man's ultimate purpose is to glorify God, but deciding how we do that can be a challenge. Sometimes we need help from a trusted advisor. I'll talk about that today with Rachel McDonough, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's always a pleasure to have Rachel McDonough back with us. She's a certified financial planner and a certified kingdom advisor. And lately, she's been deep in thought about Proverbs 20, verse 5, and how it relates to fulfilling our purpose in life with our financial decisions. Rachel, great to have you back with us.
Thanks, Rob. Happy to be here.
Yeah, Rachel, I think all believers would like to honor God with the way they use the resources entrusted to them, but perhaps sometimes it's difficult to find the right path for that. Would you agree with that idea?
I would, and I would say, too, our culture really makes it difficult and puts some headwinds of opposition in our path. There's so much in our culture that makes us think it's all about us, right?
Yeah.
We come to the financial planning process and we think, okay, what are my financial goals? In fact, as a financial advisor early on in my career, I was trained to ask people what are their financial goals. So we get this this notion that maybe we should dream up or conjure up some specific goals to have, and that somehow that's the pathway to meaning and purpose and success in life. But inadvertently, what can happen is that if we start with just trying to decide what our goals should be, it's almost like ready, fire, aim, right? We're starting with, what am I shooting at? What am I targeting? But we aren't taking the time necessarily to back up a step and think through a more biblical framework for how those financial goals should be derived.
That's such a big idea, Rachel, and a critical one, I think, for the believer. You know, you and I recently were at a conference together, and I remember something that one of the speakers said, Paul David Tripp. He said, the thing that is your treasure will control your heart, and what controls your heart will control your words, your behaviors, your choices, and your decisions. The challenge is, if we start with a financial product or even a goal, we're not starting with our heart, our values, and priorities as believers. And then how can we expect to get to the right outcomes? Isn't that right?
That's exactly right. I think so many times people come to the financial planning process and they feel like there's this burden of expectation on them to already know what their financial goals are supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's almost like if you show up and your financial advisor asks you, what are your financial goals? And you say, I'm not sure.
Right.
That somehow you're failing. And there's almost this anxiety tied to that experience. I don't know if any of our listeners can relate to that. But I want to encourage us to approach the financial planning process rather than saying, ready, fire, aim. Let's take a step back and get our foundation laid through understanding our values, our priorities, and then choosing some specific financial goals that are really the right target for us to be aiming towards.
That's right. And Rachel, having someone on the outside asking the right questions really can be critical to this process, right?
It can. Oftentimes we operate with a certain set of assumptions. And if we don't have anyone ever challenge those assumptions, we can end up a little off course and changing the trajectory of our financial lives over time. So let me just give you an example from an actual client that I was privileged to counsel a few months ago through the financial planning process. They came looking for a certified kingdom advisor because they wanted a biblical approach. And when we did the values exercise, we learned, among other things, the wife really valued respect and security. The husband, two of his core values were empathy and loyalty. So we see right away there's a very loving and respectful dynamic between the husband and wife. And they came with a particular financial goal in mind of being able to build a cabin on a parcel of land, and another financial goal of being able to refinish part of their house. But as we walked through the priorities and the values process, we learned, maybe it's actually a different season that those are for, and there's a better financial goal for this season.
Oh, that's powerful. We're talking today with Rachel McDonough, certified financial planner and certified Kingdom advisor, about the role of values in our financial decision-making and goals. Much more to come just around the corner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. This coming Sunday night is arguably the biggest day in sports in the United States. Over 120 million people are expected to be watching. After a long and grueling season, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs will battle it out in Super Bowl 59. There is something to learn from competitive sports, according to 1 Corinthians 9:25, which says, "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." So if you watch the game, don't forget there's a greater glory in the race that you're running. So look to Jesus. He's the one who's waiting for you at the finish line. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the Giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are Giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
I'm so thankful you've joined us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Joining me today, Rachel McDonough, my good friend, certified Kingdom advisor and certified financial planner. We're talking about, well, Proverbs 20, verse 5. The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. How do your values and priorities as a believer inform your financial decisions and goals? And do your values inform them? And if not, perhaps it's a time to back up and really explore your values and allow your money management to be a reflection of what's most important to you as a Christ follower. Well, Rachel McDonough, as a certified Kingdom advisor, is really unpacking what that can look like today. And Rachel, before the break, you were sharing an example, a couple that came in with a particular financial goal in mind. I suspect as an advisor, you have folks coming in all the time with that approach. And yet during the course of the planning, things changed a bit. Tell us more.
Yeah, they came in hoping to build a cabin and hoping to refinish part of their home. But what we learned here, some of the financial circumstances were the wife was coming into a large inheritance from her parents. And so they really had an additional amount of resources to make some different choices with. But what I learned as I talked with them about their lifestyle and kind of uncovered some of their pain points, she was in a highly, highly stressful job. like started crying during the financial planning discussion because of the trauma that she was experiencing on a daily basis through her stressful work. Yeah. And her husband, as I mentioned, one of his values is loyalty and family. And so he's watching his wife suffer, and it's very uncomfortable for him as well. And by just tweaking the what-if scenarios in the financial plan, we were able to model out a new scenario for them that they had not really considered before, where the wife would be able to move down to a part-time position or even just earn considerably less doing a different type of work that would allow her to feel respected and secure in her work environment again. And really, that is a much higher priority for them in this season than building a cabin. Right?
Absolutely. Rachel, I'm curious, what did that process look like to uncover those values that then really became key in the planning process?
We have a values discovery tool that we use with clients, and it just gets them out of the financial mindset and helps them to think more broadly about their main values, their core values in life in general. And then from there, we can distill some specific financial priorities and then some unique and individual goals for that season.
Yeah. Rachel, we talk a lot on this program about the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation, these men and women who've met high standards in character and competence, but have also been trained to bring a biblical worldview to their professional financial advice. How can a CKA really be key in this process?
Well, a CKA is going to have a unique mindset because what the world tells us is that it's all about us, right? Yeah. There was a financial institution that had this dream process that they trademarked where they would help clients think about what were their dreams for the future. Well, dreaming is good when we're dreaming with God. But if we're just dreaming up things for us to pursue, those can really become idols that we end up serving over time, rather than the inspired dreams that God has for us, our Ephesians 2:10, the good works that he planned in advance for us to do. So having a like-minded advisor to walk with you prayerfully through the discovery process of your values, your priorities, and the specific goals for this season as they align with God's purpose for your life is really a unique value.
That's really helpful. Rachel, can you give us some examples of the sort of questions that someone might hear from a Certified Kingdom Advisor who's really attempting to draw out the purposes of the client's heart?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we like to ask clients is, you know, what do you think the Lord would have you pursue? Like, what do you think God's goals for you are in this season? Another one we might ask is, at this season of life, do you need more income or more impact? And just helping clients differentiate, because if they've been in a season where they really needed to prioritize providing for their families and pursuing career goals, and now they're in a season of life where they have the opportunity and the capacity to pursue impact, we want to help them shift graciously into that new season of life and pursue all that God has made available for them.
Yeah, that's really helpful. You know, Rachel, I've answered, as you have, hundreds and hundreds, I guess on the radio here, thousands of questions from people about money and counseled with lots and lots of families. And my experience is, no matter the income level, people have guilt, shame, and regret about money. And those that are most free from the emotional byproducts of financial decision-making have really asked and answered the questions, who owns it and how much is enough? And I think as we begin to process God's ownership and our role as a steward, and then really the enough question, both for our lifestyle and our accumulation, it does completely change everything about how we approach our finances. And then if we put the values at the center of that for our personal goals as a reflection of that, it really changes the conversation. That biblical worldview of money management is completely different than what you will hear in the world and what you'll probably get from your typical advisor, right?
That's right. Hopefully the CKA is an advisor who is uniquely equipped to co-labor with God to draw out the Lord's purposes for that individual's life and not just help them to chase after things that the world tells them that they need.
Yeah. And so then if we go back to the client scenario you mentioned, Rachel, how can we then translate this newfound purpose that you've uncovered in the discovery process into real financial strategies and recommendations that are very practical?
Yeah, that's a great question because it has to be specific, right? What we decided to do with this client, the recommendations came out, and they're still wrestling through this. I don't want you to get the impression that clients instantaneously see, oh, this must be what God's plan is for my life, right? We wrestle through things and we pray over them. But the wife, we had her set up with a scenario where she was able to earn about half of her previous earnings. The husband, who had retired a bit early because he was in the same stressful line of work, he decided to go actually back into the workforce again to give some relief to his wife and take some of the earning pressure off of her. And then as those inherited assets began to come in, they were able to have the option, if they wanted to fully retire, they would have the option to cover their health insurance costs before reaching age 65 when Medicare would kick in. And then they also had the option to not get rid of the cabin goal, but just postpone it a bit until some of the more immediate priorities were addressed. And then we left that cabin goal in the financial plan as something that would transpire in a future season if they still agreed that it was important down the road once things were settled at home.
That's really great. Just about 45 seconds remaining, Rachel. So I know you've done this process over and over again with clients. Talk about the fruit. What's the result that comes as you watch clients live out their purpose and their passions and their values in the financial decisions they're making?
I will say for clients who are willing to operate out of surrender and really desire to choose, what do I believe God's will is and God's purpose is for my life and for my finances? The number one fruit that I experience is actually freedom from regret. And then you also see the fruit of the Spirit, the peace and the joy and the connectedness with one another, the love that can come from operating out of that sense of wholeness.
Wow, that's powerful. Rachel, really appreciate your insights. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
That's Rachel McDonough, Certified Financial Planner and Certified Kingdom Advisor. If you'd like to find a CKA in your area, just go to faithfi.com and click Find a Professional. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Looking forward to taking your calls and questions today. That number to call, 800-527-7000. We're so glad that you're along today, and we want to tackle whatever is on your mind and help you answer the questions that you're wrestling with in light of biblical truth. And we'll do that as we mine the scriptures and apply God's principles to your financial decisions and choices. Also, coming up today in the final segment, we'll look forward to having Walker Wildman stop by with Jerry Boyer and checking out what's happening in the markets today and the economy. Walker also will weigh in on some of the corporate engagement work that they've been doing as of late here at American Family Association. We'll look forward to tackling those today as we lean into scripture and understand all of the things happening in corporate America. You know, this idea of corporate engagement is really taking off, and the opportunity for us to express our values in light of our investments is one of those unique opportunities we have as investors. You know, so often we don't realize that investing is ownership. And when we have the opportunity to take our shares and express our values to company leadership, well, it's a game changer. And, you know, so for so many years, Christians were absent from that conversation, really not expressing their values and priorities to company leadership. Well, all of that has changed, and it's a part of an industry that's really accelerating called faith-based investing. Faith-based investing is your opportunity to really express your values, not only in the companies you buy and the shares that you own, but also as you vote proxies and be involved in shareholder resolutions. Well, more and more Christians are doing that, and it's making a real difference. All right, let's begin to take your phone calls today. We're going to dive in here. We'll begin in Oregon with Lynn. Go right ahead.
Good morning. I have a question about a qualified charitable distribution. I understand that there's a benefit to that. I will be 70 and a half in just a couple of months. Can you tell me what the benefit is and the process if I were to use money from a 403B?
Yeah, it's a great question, Lynn, and I love the qualified charitable distribution. This is one of the most powerful giving tools you have at your disposal. You're correct in that you have to be 70 and a half, so you will need to wait until April. However, that money will need to move to an IRA before you will have access to the qualified charitable distribution. It is not accessible by way of a 401k or a 403b. And so you would need to roll it to that IRA. Now, the way that it works is essentially this. When you put money into that 401k, or in your case, a 403b through salary deferral, it was excluded from your taxable income. You did not pay tax on it. It went into that pre-tax environment, and then you invested it in the menu of investments available to you through that 403b. And then typically, after you separate from your employer, you roll it out to an IRA, and then you'd start pulling it out either to supplement your income or at the age of a required minimum distribution, because the IRS requires that you do that. Now, when you pull that money out, the idea is that then you pay tax on it as ordinary income, because your main working year's income is gone and you're now supplementing, let's say, Social Security by taking withdrawals, and you pay the tax. The only way to get that money, Lynn, out of that now IRA is through a qualified charitable distribution, which means it has to go directly from the IRA custodian to your charity or ministry of choice or your church. And when you do that, you avoid the tax altogether. And so, you know, you put it in pre-tax and now it's coming out without paying any tax, so long as it goes straight to that ministry. You don't get the deduction on top of it, but you never recognize it as income, which is the real beauty of it. And once you reach the age where you'd have a required minimum, you can satisfy the required minimum at the same time. So it's the real, you know, win in that you never pay tax on it. That means more into the kingdom, and you know, you have the ability to satisfy that required minimum. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, it does. I wonder, so if the company where I have it will allow it to be moved into an IRA, number one, would I keep it at that same company as a 401k instead? And if I do, and I tithe annually, how do I make a specific amount to that church each year or each month?
Yeah. Well, in order for you to be able to do the qualified charitable distribution, you will not need be able to leave it in the 401k or 403b. So it will need to go to an IRA. Now, that could be at the same custodian you're with now, or it could be a new custodian. That's entirely up to you. Doesn't matter who's holding it. It just has to be in the form of an IRA for you to be able to do the qualified charitable distribution. In terms of the mechanics of that, you would just let your IRA custodian know that you want to make a scheduled transfer of a certain amount every month on a certain day, and they would send the check straight to your church, let's say, and you know that would be acknowledged as a charitable receipt. And then when you fill out your 1040, your tax return, you would list all the distributions, but then there would be a line where you would be able to say this amount was a qualified charitable distribution, and you'd have the contribution receipts to back it up, and that would then be excluded from being added to your taxable income.
And what if I want to do a special offering or two that are outside of that monthly amount?
Yeah, you can put in up to $105,000, I believe, this year. So it's up to you. You can do as many qualified charitable distributions as you want. Some people do one a year. You know, you could do dozens, theoretically. There would be no limit. Each time, you would just have to make sure your custodian's sending it straight to the ministry or your church.
So I would contact them and say, send them another $100 this month.
That's exactly right.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome, Lynn. Hey, we're going to take a quick break and then back with more of your questions. 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
Empty stomachs, waterborne illnesses, hopelessness. These are harsh realities for impoverished African children, but you can make a difference. Join with Cross International to share the love of Jesus with a child in critical need today. Each gift of $62 provides a child with life-saving resources. Give now at crossinternational.org/faith or 866-843-9500 and help kids go from barely surviving to thriving.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
God has entrusted His finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training or cultural transformation. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Call right now with your questions. We've got some lines open. The number 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to tackle your financial questions today. And we've got room for you. That may not be the case here in just a bit, so this would be a great time to call. Before we head back to the phones in the news today, a new survey shows that 86% of Americans believe they'll see higher prices due to tariffs. The poll of 1,000 adults taken by the online used equipment seller Bid on Equipment also shows that many consumers are already planning strategies to soften the blow of potential price hikes. Two-thirds say they'll change their shopping habits. Nearly half say they'll start shopping at thrift stores if necessary. Others plan to do more bargain hunting and to buy items produced domestically. Those numbers track with other recent surveys. One by ThredUp, the online used clothing seller, shows that 55% of consumers plan to spend more on secondhand clothing if tariffs push prices higher. Well, it's no secret that tariffs could raise prices, so probably a good idea to start planning. If you don't have a budget app, and we heartily recommend the FaithFi app for you to get started, it can help you set up a budget, track your spending so you can stay on budget. And we know it's more difficult than ever to keep your spending on track in light of these higher prices. The FaithFi app could be just what you're looking for. You can check it out in your app store. Just search for FaithFi or download it from our website, faithfi.com. All right, we're going to head to the phones. Lines open, 800-525-7000. To Alabama we go. Nat, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. I'm calling in reference to me and my husband. Well, he had a trailer that he did for lease to purchase. And lease to purchase was over 16 years. So it just got finalized in December. The occupant actually paid off the mortgage on that mobile home. From what I got from the mortgage company, it got finalized January 10th. And it was finalized, well, the bill of sale is saying just $6,600 and some more dollars. But he has to get that trailer transferred, that title transferred to his name. And the thing is, what we're trying to find out here is by it being a 1995 trailer, he bought it in 96. And do we have to put this trailer on our taxes either this year or for next year, since it was finalized in January of this year?
Yeah. So you've been recognizing these lease payments as rental income up to this point, and now you're selling it. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So you've been paying the tax on the rental income along the way. And then once the buyer exercises the option to purchase, the capital gain would be recognized in the tax year the sale is finalized. So, you know, let's say you lease your home in 2024 with a purchase option in, you know, 2026, then you'd report the rental income in 24 and 25. And then when the buyer purchases the home in 2026, then you'd report the capital gain on that 2026 return. So it really has to do with when that transfer actually occurs, which is when the transaction is finalized.
Okay. It doesn't matter how much it is, though.
Well, that would determine whether or not there's a capital gain. And if it was your primary residence, you may have the capital gain exclusion on that. This was where you all were living?
No.
Well, right. No, yeah. Somebody else was leasing it from you. Yeah. So the, the capital gain, would be, you know, based on the original purchase price, subtracted from the selling price to determine what profit you had on that. And you'd probably want to check with the CPA just to make sure you're calculating that correctly. But that profit, that gain, would be added to your taxable income. And, you know, that would determine ultimately what capital gain bracket you fall into. So how much did you make on the property? Do you know?
Total, or are you talking about what it was wrote up for?
Well, the selling price minus your original purchase price.
Selling price minus the original purchase price.
Yeah, that's your gain. So you've got to look at what did we pay for it, and then it appreciated over the years that you owned it while you were leasing it out, and then you sell it for a profit. The difference between those two, the difference between what you bought it for and what you sold it for, is your capital gain. And then you can reduce that by any improvements you made to the property along the way, not routine maintenance, but things that enhance the value. And then ultimately you're going to come up with, you know, a true gain that you had, and you're going to add that to your other taxable income. And then depending upon where that falls, you know, that'll determine what long-term capital gain rate you pay on that, that gain.
Okay. The initial, that was before me. Me and him, we've been married since 2005.
Okay.
But as far as the initial payment, the initial price of that home.
Yeah, well, we don't need to get into that. But I think the big idea here is that whenever that transaction was finalized and the sale occurred, that's the tax year you're going to report this. And I would say, you know, anytime, I mean, I love the idea of you using a tax professional all the time. But if you normally do your own taxes, this would be the year to get professional help, have that person help you work through what is your true capital gain, and then determine, you know, what taxes need to be paid on that alongside your federal and state income taxes, and you'd go from there. So you probably want to seek some wise counsel on this.
Yes, and we are, but I know when he does the title transfer, if I'm not mistaken, he's going to have to pay the taxes on the amount that's on the bill of sale.
Yeah.
But as far as us, we are working with someone to get this taken care of. I just know I listen to you all the time. So, I'm kind of in the right area because I usually do our taxes. But this year we're working back with the person we used to work with some years ago.
Okay, good. Yeah, I think that's a good idea because you want to make sure you have everything, you know, nailed down in terms of the capital gain, you know, based on the sale, and then any transfer taxes or title fees, and, you know, make sure that the property taxes are paid. And so just, you know, making sure that everything is done properly, and then ultimately when you file your tax return that you record that appropriately so that the capital gain taxes can be paid, if any. And it's just going to depend on which bracket you fall into based on your total taxable income, which is all of your income, plus this capital gain will be added into it. So, Nat, we appreciate you being a faithful listener. Thanks for calling today. If I can help further with anything that you have, don't hesitate to call back. We appreciate it. Well, folks, we're going to take our final break. In the last segment here, Jerry Boyer and Walker Wildman stop by. We'll get an update on the markets and the economy. We'll also hear about the latest work of AFA and corporate engagement. That's just around the corner. Don't go anywhere. Some exciting stuff coming up. We'll be right back.
Is it really possible to rejoice in the Lord despite difficult people and circumstances? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress opens to the book of Philippians, in which the Apostle Paul reveals how to experience outrageous joy in any and every situation. Learn how to live above your circumstances, all this week on Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Have you added AFR on Roku? With it, you can quickly access AFR programming live.
I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View.
The majority of Americans actually want to live in reality.
As well as podcasts of all your favorite shows.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7.
AFR on Roku is another way to stay informed, equipped, and motivated as we join together to restore godly values in our nation. AFR on Roku. Add it today.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Here in this segment today, Jerry Boyer with us, our resident economist, also Walker Wildman of the American Family Association. Jerry, let's start with the economy. We've got some jobs data out today. Just give us an update on where we find ourselves.
Yeah, well, the jobs data is weaker than expected. In other words, we created fewer jobs than the market expected. But we also found out that over the past year, they revised those downwards. So we created a lot fewer jobs all of last year than was thought. So that's a pretty weak labor market. We're not creating as many jobs as we thought we were creating. So the government overreported. So you can cue conspiracy theories if you want or not. My job is just to tell you that's no surprise to anyone who's been listening to us talk last year where I thought the economy was weaker than the official stats were showing. So you think, oh, that's bad news. You know, weak jobs market. So, the markets are going to go down. Nope. They go up. Why? Because in our strange new world, we don't think about how good is the economy. We think, how will the Fed react to this? And the Fed thinks when you have a weak job market, you have to print more money. And printing more money will make people save less because inflation is bad for savings. And then they'll go out and spend. And if they spend, then that will drive economic growth because the companies will have to pay people to work for the companies that they're buying from. Now, that is completely the inverse of a biblical approach to the economy. It's not spending that drives economic growth. It's producing that drives economic growth. A bad jobs market is just bad news. The government can't solve it except by getting out of the way. It will not solve it by debasing the currency. But how did markets react? Well, they went up. Gold went up a lot. It's been a little while since I've looked, but we were getting close to 3,000 to new records. Because basically the markets know that a weak job market is something that our government, specifically our central bank, will respond to by debasing the currency to try to stimulate growth. It will not help, but what it does do is pump money into markets and push them up, but that's not sustainable over the long run. It's inflationary over the long run. Yeah. And the inflation trades are up. So gold's up, dollar's down, and inflation hedges like tips are up. The government cannot print wealth. It can only print money. When you print money without creating new wealth, you don't get more stuff. You just get more expensive stuff.
Yeah, and consumer sentiment is obviously affected by all of this and the tariffs. Jerry, we haven't talked to you since we saw that play out last Friday and then over last weekend, and then the market sold off to start the day on Monday. We then heard about the 30-day pause for both Canada and Mexico, and so perhaps it was a negotiating strategy. Maybe it's going to be back on 30 days from now, but what did we learn just over this last week with regard to how these tariffs might affect the economy?
Yeah, well, markets are trying to figure out whether the president is bluffing about tariffs. That is a negotiating tactic for national security ends, which to me is a valid use of tariffs to say, hey, Colombia, we're sending the criminals back. If you don't like it, we're going to tariff your coffee. And then that was on the third hole. By the eighth hole, Colombia caved in. That seemed to me to be pretty good statescraft. You know, I liked that because we don't want criminals coming into our country. On the other hand, often the president and the people around him talk about tariffs as though they're a good thing. They're not a good thing. They increase the price of things. If Donald Trump got elected for one reason, there's lots of reasons, but if you boil it down to one thing for most voters, it was inflation. Most people are not voting based on values. I wish they were, you know, or on grand strategic plans. Most people, they go and look at the price of food and they say, this doesn't work for me. That's how they vote. Tariffs increase the prices of things. So this is an unforced error. If I was the president, I would gain political capital by doing everything I could to free up markets. I would not tax any purchases, because when you put a tax on top of, why is gasoline more expensive in California than it is other places? Because they tax gasoline there more, okay? Yeah. Well, when we tax import, when we tax avocados, when we tax pork, when we tax soybeans, when we tax things from overseas, it increases the price of those things. The president needs to beat inflation. That's how he wins the political capital to go on and get his other goals. Tariffs won't do that. So I hope and I pray that tariffs are a negotiating tactic to, you know, for national security reasons and not a grand economic scheme. We have 300 years of experiments with this. It does not work.
Well, we'll certainly keep an eye on it, Jerry, and I know you'll keep us informed along the way. Let's pivot to the news we have in corporate engagement, and Walker Wildman joins us. Walker, great to have you here. I know this is a big week. Let's start with John Deere and some of the latest work you all are doing there.
Yeah, Rob, thanks for having me on. I'm presenting before the John Deere Corporation at their annual shareholder meeting in just a couple weeks, and what we're focusing on is corporate charitable giving, and specifically matching programs that a lot of these corporations have, in this case, John Deere. And we're just wanting to make sure that if a corporation like John Deere is going to have a corporate matching program, like a charitable matching program, that program is available to all eligible nonprofits. Currently what John Deere is doing is they're picking and choosing which nonprofits are eligible for matching and grant funding or matching funding from the employees, and in return, religious organizations are being excluded, specifically churches and ministries that perform evangelism and discipleship or sharing the gospel. They're being excluded from the matching program. So that's what we're focusing on with John Deere. But I can't go without mentioning, Rob, this week, after 9 years, we officially ended our boycott of Target. For those who may remember, wow, back in 2016, Target announced the transgender bathroom policy, where they would allow men into women's restrooms. So after 9 years, we examined, did the boycott serve its purpose? And I can kind of go over the reasons that it did. But we're proud to announce that the boycott of Target has officially ended.
Wow. Walker, that's incredible. And obviously some real movement there for you all to do that. Are you pleased with where things stand today?
Yeah. What we do when we launch a boycott, in order to end the boycott, we have to have substantial evidence that the corporation is moving in the right direction. Yeah. And I'm not, you know, making excuses for Target. I'm not recommending Target. But the reality is that when you look at where Target was 9 years ago and where they are today, it's a completely different corporate culture, at least publicly. A couple things that they've done. The first thing that they did is they announced a $20 million project to add single occupancy restrooms so that families can go to the bathroom without worrying about men entering women's spaces. That's the first concession they made within 6 months of the boycott. Last year, they announced that they were removing the LGBT Pride collection from at least half of their stores around the country. And then just last week, within the last 2 weeks, Target announced that they would no longer participate in the Human Rights Campaign so-called Equality Index, which is a major blow to the LGBTQ agenda and lobby. So there's just a litany of areas where Target has conceded to concerns of AFA and others, and for that reason, we're calling off the boycott. Wow.
Jerry, you know, this is real movement here, and this is not an isolated story. This kind of progress is being made across some of the biggest companies in the world, isn't it?
It is, but Target is just particularly wonderful to hear because they were one of the worst, frankly, which is why AFA, you know, boycotted. And AFA was so ahead of everybody else on this. They've been ahead for a long time on seeing the problems with corporate America. And a lot of other people were saying, Disney's okay or Target's okay. And it wasn't okay. And AFA saw that early. We started having conversations with Target, I don't know, 3.5-4 years ago, and tried to explain to them that there's a backlash coming. And they said, no, there's no backlash. Look, our stock price is doing well. Well, okay. Then the stock price got destroyed, you know, after the Tuck Friendly thing. I mean, I don't even want to say it. It's so gross, right? Tuck Friendly bathing suits. AFA got in there. They were first in. Then others kind of joined in and imitated. And then this company has moved in the right direction. But, of course, it's trust but verify, right? So, you know, AFA's not done talking to Target, I'm sure. And we're not done talking to Target on behalf of AFA and others to make sure that they follow up on this and that they genuinely change rather than just sort of hunkering down and saying, well, there's this moment now, right now, this vibe shift, and we're going to basically stay the same or come back and reinstate these things. Maybe they did that on the book bans. We confronted them about banning some books that were skeptical about transgender treatments. And they said, oh, you're right. We shouldn't have banned them. We need to have a policy. They unbanned them. Then 6 months later, they quietly banned them again without saying anything. So the question is, they have the same CEO. They have to be watched. They cannot be trusted. But I agree. They deserve a reward for doing the right thing. Getting out of the Human Rights Campaign thing is huge, especially for them to do it, and we expect more. There are others getting out. There's some that are talking to us about it now. They haven't quite committed publicly. We're talking to them on behalf of AFA. So I expect more and more good in this direction. So congratulations to American Family Association for really getting this started.
Very good. Walker, 30 seconds left. Give us a quick update on Apple. Any progress there?
Yeah, I'm presenting before Apple in just a couple weeks as well, actually the day right before or after the John Deere presentation. So we're going to try to get to the bottom of protecting children through the child sexual abuse material scanning software. So there's things that Apple can do to protect minors from being victimized on their devices. But we just got to keep the pressure on and force the issue with the shareholders and with the board.
Well, gentlemen, well done. Way to go on taking those ownership positions you have through those shares of stock and using that to express Christian values. Obviously, it's making a difference, and we appreciate you stopping by today. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Walker.
All right. That's Walker Wildman of the American Family Association and Jerry Boyer of Boyer Research, our resident economist. Well, folks, thanks for being along with us today. Always a joy to have you here. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. Come back and join us next week. In the meantime, we hope that you would see God as your ultimate treasure and use money as a tool to accomplish his purposes. Big thanks to my team today, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, Sandy Dickinson, and everybody here at FaithFi. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.